You're listening to the Gay AF Comedy Podcast, your queer comedy fix with Robert Watson
and Dylan Mahaney.
On today's podcast, we debate which of the four seasons is the best. Dylan quizzes Rob, asking, what's got you sprung? But first up, it's stupid gay headlines from top to bottom. Oh, that's, you sound a bit like Beaker from the Muppets. Oh, we're moving on right now.
The anger in your eyes.
Yeah, you obviously, it's a generational thing. Did you watch the Muppets at all?
No, I watched Sesame Street.
Yeah, okay. Beaker wasn't on Sesame Street. Beaker was on the actual Muppet Show or the Muppet movies. Did you watch any like Muppets Christmas Carol?
I watched the Lady Gaga special that she did with the Muppets.
Yeah,
with Art Pop.
So Beaker's the one that just goes me 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 me.
Oh, I know that. Okay.
So you did know that.
Well, I don't know.
You
his
just know
name.
The name. You didn't know the name. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, our first headline is in Louisiana. A rare two-faced calf was born last month, and it looks like it may break the record for the longest living two-headed cow.
I mean, the way that you phrase it as two-faced, I would never trust that cow anywhere. It's two-faced.
Well, don't let it borrow anything because it might not live long enough to give it back to you. So yeah, don't trust it. Don't trust the cow. But no, it was one of these rare cows born with two faces. Wasn't the Barbara Streisand movie, The Mirror Has Two Faces, based on that?
I've never seen any Barbara Streisand movie.
Okay, and I'm the one that keeps talking about having to hand in my gay membership card? Like, seriously, you're killing me here. Anyways, back to the cow, not Barbara Streisand. Anyway, so the cows, they're like, these cows don't live usually. Usually,
right.
Usually cows or animals or anything with two faces born, they don't live that long.
Right.
But this one is apparently doing quite well. It can't stand yet, but they're helping it. Like, it's actually gaining strength. Like, the cow's getting better. So I don't know. They're bottle feeding it, and they're like, well, let's see what happens.
Where is this?
This is in Louisiana.
Do they do fracking there?
No, probably. They do fracking everywhere in the U.S.
I mean, it seems like this would be something geographic, right? Like, there's something in the water that's making the cows have two faces.
Or maybe the cows that made it were cousins. Cousins shouldn't marry or have two-faced cows.
It's Louisiana.
Yeah, well, it could happen.
Oh, I'm sure.
But no, so have you ever been called two-faced ever?
No, you should know me well enough. Whatever one face has to say, the other face is going to say it anyway. So I don't need to be called two-faced because I'll just, whatever I'm feeling, I'll say it.
That's very true. I'm a little bit more careful about how I talk to people. So I guess there might be some people like, hey, you said this to one person, but you said this to me.
You edit yourself. I don't.
Yeah, I edit myself. Of course I do. Yeah. I don't want people to know my deepest, darkest thoughts. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Dear Lord.
I don't edit.
That's amazing. Then you don't really have any deep, dark thoughts then?
I have deep, dark thoughts, but I just tell them.
Oh, good for you.
I tell you about them. All right.
Anyways, well, good luck to you, two-faced calf. They didn't give the calf a name or names.
Yeah,
if you're a two-faced calf, do you get two names?
Well, depends if there's two personalities.
That's true. Like, it's not like a conjoined twin situation. I can't believe I said that. Okay. I don't want to compare a two-faced cow to conjoined twins. The difference is that it's not two people. Like, the cow, like, they're sharing a brain and everything. So, like, it just has two faces. So I guess it's not like, it's not a double personality thing.
I'm wondering, because you know they have four stomachs?
Yeah.
Cows? So like when it regurgitates, do they switch back and forth?
See, this is what I'm really upset about is that the article didn't go into these kind of details. Because these are the kind of questions I have when I hear about a two-faced calf. It's like, do they both eat? Do their esophaguses connect? Do they breathe through the same nose? Are their eyes all over the place? I mean, I guess they haven't lived long enough ever for people to know those answers. So we're going to hope that
I did have a chicken, several of them would lay two yolk eggs.
Did you ever let those hatch?
I don't know if we incubated them.
I'm sure you could, folks at home, you can look up a website that'll show you all the weird, freaky animals things that have happened. So go ahead and do that, and probably we should just move on to another headline. But good luck to you, cow. Hope you break that record, meaning I hope you live.
Yeah, lucky the cow.
Lucky the cow. Let's call them that for now. And them. We're going to use they/them pronouns for this two-faced cow. I think that's appropriate.
So two Indonesian pilots fell asleep for 28 minutes during a flight.
Both of them?
Both of them.
Were they on obviously on autopilot, I'm guessing.
Of course, they were at cruising altitude. So here's the thing. The younger of the two pilots recently had twins and moved. So moved into a new home and said that they were struggling to sleep for the last couple of days.
Yeah, they just had newborns?
Yep, newborns.
Twins.
And moved.
and moved.
So what happened is they noticed that the flight was veering off course.
So who noticed that? Like some sort of control tower somewhere?
I would assume, yeah.
I guess so. So that's a good reason for one of them to fall asleep. Why'd the other one fall asleep?
I'm a horrible flyer.
Yeah, you're horrible in moving vehicles in general.
Transportation.
Yeah, you don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like transporting.
Would you use like a Star Trek style teleporter instead of a car if they were a real thing? Or would that freak you out too? Just the idea of being moved by something.
If Mercedes made one.
Is that the only car you feel safe in, so they need to make you a teleporter?
Well, it's the only car I've owned.
I'm just going to say, it was probably used. I want everyone to know it was a used Mercedes.
It was a used Mercedes.
Yes.
And it was the entry-level one. It was a B-class. They don't even make it anymore.
No bells and whistles. But anyway, so why do we know why the other guy was asleep?
No, I mean, he probably was just bored. But like, so
why take turns? Maybe he was the one that was allowed to be asleep, because one of them is allowed to sleep.
I can't.
On a long-haul flight.
It's an Indonesian flight. I don't think it was a long-haul flight.
Well, where was it going to?
I would
Indonesia's far from pretty much everywhere. It's going to be at least a 4-hour flight. But anyways,
I always wonder, like when I'm on the plane, I'm always wondering what's going on up in the cockpit.
I snicker, snicker.
Like, what are they doing? What do they do when they're up there? And I know that pilots typically only really have to control the plane for about 6 minutes of the flight.
Well, landing and taking off are the most important ones, where their judgment is the most important. And then you can't be like, click to a button, which makes you go, why are there all those other buttons? See how many buttons there are on a plane?
Yes.
95% of them are just for show. I am pretty sure.
If I found this out and I was on that plane, I think I would sue them and I would own the plane. I would own the plane.
And then you could find out which of the buttons actually work.
Well,
like half the buttons in the cockpit are just like, hey, flight attendant, we need a drink too.
Yes. I did see that in the UK at Heathrow, they actually have a fear of flying course, where you're scared of flying, you go and you take this course, and there's actual pilots that volunteer their time, they explain everything, and then you go on a flight and they explain everything that's happening, all the bings and the bongs that happen on the flight. I want to sign up for it. I would fly to Heathrow to take that course for a fear of flying so I could get over it.
Yeah, you could do a great before and after video, before the flight training and then the after flight training. It would be such a difference, because it would just be like you screaming, and then there would be before you had the training.
Yes. Yes, exactly. For all of the flights, I've been on, doesn't matter if I'm in first class, if I'm in the last row, aisle seat, if I'm at the window seat, it doesn't matter. I don't want to be on the plane.
Oh my gosh, the idea of putting you in the emergency exit row, where the flight attendants are like, you're going to have some responsibilities, and they tell you about all the different things about if the plane goes down. Mm-hmm. I could see you being an absolute puddle by the end of that talk and you'd be like, no, just move me from the seat.
I'm okay when I'm sitting in the emergency window on the train.
But that's not quite the same.
But I get I'm very anxious on a flight, and then I do control people. So like, you know, when people are kind of, they put their stuff in the overhead compartment and people are walking in the aisle, I will tell people to sit down and move, and like, I will control situations to control my anxiety.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow. Remind me to never go on a flight with you. We're taking separate planes if we ever go somewhere.
Honestly.
Or like at least like separate areas of the plane, because I really wouldn't want to deal with sitting by you. I'll let some stranger deal with you.
It's horrible. I'm a horrible flyer. What else do we have going on?
Yeah, no kidding. This one here, this headline. So last month, some NFL fans recently underwent amputations due to attending a game in minus 20 degree temperatures.
So what's that in Fahrenheit? Because that's Celsius.
Oh, so minus 20 Celsius. So 30 degrees Fahrenheit is 0 degrees Celsius. So we're talking like maybe 10 degrees Fahrenheit. Or I don't know. I wasn't reading this article properly. Maybe it was minus 20 Fahrenheit.
No, it was Celsius.
It was Celsius. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So Canadian written article, I guess. So is there any, like, these people are obviously huge football fans. They're like, no, I'm not leaving. They lose.
Yeah.
It's just fingers. I think someone lost a finger. And in the rest of cases, it was toes, not important things,
right?
Maybe the finger was important, but not the toes in the same way, unless you're hanging out at the beach every day. But is there anything where you'd be like, yeah, I would be willing to risk frostbite amputation in order to see or do something? Is there any person or thing? I'm sure in music, I bet you there's someone.
Well, the thing is, I am miserable in any type of weather. So if it's really cold, I'm going to complain and have a miserable time. If it's really hot, same thing. So I'd leave. I would just go home.
Yeah, if I were getting that cold, like let's say it was like a Mariah Carey concert. It's been a few weeks since we mentioned Mariah Carey. We should have a bell for that. Ding, ding.
And you brought her up.
I know it was me this time. I'm the one to blame. But even if it's Mariah Carey and you're like, oh, I think I might lose this toe. Okay, let's say it's not a concert. Let's say you are waiting in line to spend an hour with Mariah Carey, but it's minus 20 degrees. Would you stay waiting in that cold for an hour in minus 20 to spend an hour with Mariah Carey?
With Oprah.
I would
for
Oprah. That's out of left field.
I would for Oprah. Mariah Carey, I don't know.
I don't know if I'd want to meet her either. Like, she might
it's not
be
that I wouldn't want to meet her, because obviously I do. I just feel like an hour, it would be about her.
Of course it would be.
Where I feel like Oprah would make it about you.
Like, she would interview you?
Well, I feel like Oprah has an ability to look at somebody and kind of make you the most important person in the room, whereas Mariah Carey is the most important person in the room.
Yeah, she'd take up a lot of oxygen for sure.
Exactly.
But Oprah, I wouldn't wait in minus 20 degrees to speak to Oprah for an hour.
But that shows you the impact that Oprah's had on my life.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess she's had. I mean, you grew up watching the Opes.
I did.
Oh, you were probably watching her in the era of when Dr. Phil would come on, Dr. Oz would come on.
Yeah, I didn't watch the trashy, Ricky Lake Oprah.
Ricky Lake Oprah was pretty fun. That's a great moniker. You know, good old Ricky Lake Oprah.
Yeah.
That's funny. Oh, let's move on, though, because already I'm bored from this topic. So let's hear the last one.
All right. So a woman chatted to her dead mother using AI with spooky results.
Explain, please.
There's a thing called Project December is what it's called, and it simulates the dead using AI at a cost of $10, and users can message the chatbot for about an hour.
And the idea is you write in the name of the person you're supposedly talking to, and
yeah, there is an intake form.
Okay, so basically the AI takes in all this information, does their thing. And then it comes back to like, oh, hey, it's mom.
Yes. If your mother was Cher.
It's me, your mom.
Oh, how you doing? Oh.
That's right. I'm still alive. I'm never going to die. Oh,
it's your mom, bitch.
Snap out of it. Oh, God. I would do that. So that's what I would do with this. I would put celebrity info in and then talk to them and be like, oh, I had a great conversation with Cher. That'd be a lot more fun than, because that could get very disturbing. Like, so what was the result of this is what I want to know.
So they actually had screenshots of the chat that this woman was having with AI. And for her, it was kind of a closure or a comfort situation. There's been over 3,000 users that have used this already. Project December. So this is $10 an hour, over 3,000 users, and she's gone and used it multiple times, this one person.
Wow. I feel for anyone who's misses their a family member or a loved one that much, where they will go to a psychic, or they'll go to something like this, I guess. I totally understand how people I just want to feel like I'm in their presence again. Yeah. I feel that that's very sweet in some ways, but I have my issues with AI anyways.
Yeah.
So that is a little bit creepy.
And the chats, it was calling her, the chatbot was calling the woman by an endearing term that her mother would have called her.
Wow.
Right? So Susu, and everything started Susu. With Susu.
Susu.
Yeah. So I've been to a medium a couple of times and I'll ask about my mom when I'm there. And there is a comfort that comes with it. I think this is a little predatorial.
There's certainly no mysticism in it, because you're literally getting back what you put into the program and then whatever little bells and whistles they put into the algorithm to make it feel real.
Yeah.
Whereas a medium, they're very good at what they do, whether what they're doing is real or not. They really, do you remember Sylvia Brown off of the Montel?
Montel Williams,
that's right. And Sylvia Brown was on the show. She's just this old lady, just sort of grumpy, curmudgeonly looking thing. They'd be like, yeah, your mom said that this is here. Go look in the treasure box and in the attic. You know, that's actually the sound of her voice. That was the woman's voice I was imitating.
Yeah,
that's what she sounded
like. She looks like a smoker.
Well, she's passed away. Well, she did smoke quite a bit. Yeah. I think that's what killed her. I wonder if she could have predicted that. for herself. But so I'm not going to try this, is what I'm saying.
I would try this if it was free. If it was free, but the fact that it's $10, it's low enough. The entry point of $10 is low enough. $10 is low enough for people to be like, you know what? It's only 10 bucks, but I think that it would provide dopamine to people.
Yeah.
That they would continue to do the $10, the $10, the $10.
Oh, yeah, they'll keep coming back, and that's the predatory part of it.
Yeah, right. I don't like this.
Recommending it, then it doesn't get the Gay AF Comedy Podcast stamp of approval.
No.
No. All right, well, let's close it up. That was our stupid gay headlines for today. I almost forgot there. So we got a new segment that we're going to try today because spring is almost here. And Dylan wants to ask me, what's got you sprung? Dylan, why don't you tell us about what's going on?
Okay, so of course, we're getting into our spring affairs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, little Donna Summer spring affair.
The sun's out, you know, it's getting warmer. The white guys are wearing shorts and blinding all the people with their legs.
They are. Yeah. They are. I'm about to take out my shorts. Ah! Yeah, exactly. And you see how short my shorts are.
Oh, gosh. Oh. And you have a meaty thigh. He really does, folks. He has a meaty thigh. He wears pants. He's wearing pants right now, folks. All right. Anyway, tell us about... We're going to cut all of that. But tell us about... what you're going to do. You're asking me questions, right?
Yeah. So basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to name something, someone, a concept, and you're going to tell me if it springs your spring.
Basic turns my fancy?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Sure. This is very gay or nay-esque. It's gay or nay-esque a bit, but I like it.
Well, it's niched.
It's niched to this particular season. Anyways, ask me some questions.
All right. So men in uniforms.
They do that for me. Depends on the uniform. Like, I don't know, like, If it's like a Starbucks uniform, I'm not as impressed. No, you know what? I'm not a militaristic person, so I don't think guys in uniform, like, I don't want to say this, but when I see certain windows being like, oh, you can watch two military men do fun stuff with each other, I'm always like, nah, I'm not interested.
Right.
If you catch my drift.
Yeah, yeah. Conceptual.
So I'm not sprung by that.
The conceptual artistry of the adult entertainment doesn't get you.
Oh, no, it doesn't. Oh, we should just put in a little sound for a spring if I'm sprung by it, and then if it's not like a whoa whoa,
yeah, put that in. Okay, so men in uniforms, it's a
men in uniform is a whoa whoa.
All right, androgynous women.
Oh, okay, yes.
Oh,
or androgynous non-binary people, I will say, because probably
yes,
to assume that someone is if you're saying, oh, that person is androgynous, but I used to work at the Bay in the menswear section, and you know, there'd be some younger people that at the time I would have been like, oh, they're part of our lesbian community. Right nowadays, I'd probably say, oh, they're part of our non-binary community.
Right.
But I gotta say, I was like, oh, that person's really attractive, and I would be like, you know, I would want to help them out. I'd be like, oh, I want to help you out, and yep, help you find, and be like, I want to give you good service. You know what I mean. And they're always, and I will say, they're always a little bit weird about, like, why is this twinkie gay man so into me? It's like, because you kind of look like a twinkie gay man at the same time. Yes. That's the thing about androgyny is everyone ends up looking like a twink. And
yeah,
I'm not mad at that.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm sprung.
Yeah.
There we go. You know what? All right,
too.
Next one.
Me too.
Yeah, oh, good.
We're two for two on this.
Yeah, great.
Okay. Married men.
No, not interested. Not sprung.
No.
No, it doesn't cause any interest in me. I'm like, you better be nice to your partner.
Okay.
I mean, married men, as in two married, the men that are both married, that's a different question.
No, like straight men.
Oh, yeah, no. Not interested.
All right. Ryan Gosling.
Oh, well, sprung. Absolutely sprung. I watched the Ken thing, the performance.
You liked his little pink suit?
Yeah, well, I don't want to give away the farm on this, but I might be working on a parody song based on it because I was so happy with how he did it. I'm like, I want to do that too, so I might do that. So I'm sprung, very sprung by Ryan Gosling.
I love that.
Yeah.
Straight men who are feminists.
I mean, I'm happy for them. Wouldn't say I'm sprung. I'm not like, yeah, give it to me, daddy. I'm not like that, but I'm like, yeah, I support men being feminists, so I guess I'm kind of sprung by it.
So I will say this, Cory Booker, I believe he's a former representative from New Jersey.
Okay.
He did a speech at the Democratic nomination, like the Democratic convention for Hillary Clinton. And the way that he was going on about women's reproductive rights, I found that to be so attractive.
All right. Well, that's great. Thanks, Cory Booker. Oh, I remember Cory Booker. Yeah, that guy. I like him.
Yes. With his bald head. Sailors.
Nah.
No.
No. We're going through this rather fast. I don't want to talk about sailors. Not the sailors. Don't talk about them.
Not even the Jean-Paul Gaultier ones?
Oh, I mean, I love a little sailor outfit like that. But exactly, I would just think, oh, that's Jean-Paul Gaultier as opposed to being a sailor. So
a successful businessman.
Oh, yeah, that springs me a little bit. Unless they're a jerk. Because sometimes if you're a successful businessman, you might have gotten that way by being a jerk.
Right.
And there's a lot of alpha male energy going on with that. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm split.
Oh.
I'm half sprung.
You're
depends on the business.
You sprung.
My Swedish sprung. It's like, coming soon from IKEA. Sprung.
Okay, twinks.
Yeah, I'm sure I like them. I mean, I'm too old to like them now, but I can admire them for what they are.
Okay, okay. A muscle jaw.
Like, yes and no, again. Like, I'm like, yeah, oh, you're great. But when you add the word jock, and that's where I go, but do I have to talk to him? So that's where I'm like, maybe not. Muscles, yes. Jock, no.
Here's the thing. I remember being with a friend, and there was a guy in the group that we were all conversing with, and he had muscles, and he was like, ooh, look at that daddy. And I was like, no, I can choke myself.
Ah!
Like, I'm good. I don't need that.
All you need to choke yourself is just an unchewed hot dog.
Alone time.
Oh, I'm sprung. I actually do spend quite a bit of time alone staring at my computer wondering what happened to the rest of my life. So yeah, I'm into that.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And that's what springs has sprung.
Has spring been sprung? Are we sprung?
Yeah, we're sprung.
We're sprung. Let's move on to our last segment of the podcast today. So spring is upon us. It is going to be spring. What's the first day of spring? Is it the 20th or the 21st of March? It feels like it rotates. Is it the 20th?
Girl, I don't know.
Anyways, it is soon. So we are going to have a little debate. It's a change of seasons. We wanted to see for ourselves, what do we think is the best of the four seasons? And if we disagree, we'll have a little chat about it. So Dylan, what's your favorite season?
Well, on Donna Summer's album, Four Seasons of Love, I love Spring Affair.
Okay, so is it about spring or is it about an affair? What are you liking about it?
Well, I like the song.
So I can't recall it at this moment. Is it about an affair in spring?
No, it's Spring Affair.
Oh, that's cute.
It's a really nice song.
So besides a song, what do you like about the actual season?
Well, I will say, if I'm choosing a season outside of that album, it's summer.
Summer. Oh, because of Donna Summer?
I didn't even make that connection.
Yeah. Well, no, I did. Now I'm regretting it. But tell me more. Okay. I disagree. Summer's not my thing. Summer's not my thing.
Okay.
So tell me why.
So summer one, it's my birthday.
Fair.
So I do like that. I feel like, you know, the winter depression has far been removed. So we're all feeling good. I also don't do much in the summer in terms of productivity.
So you're saying more or less that you like laziness.
yes, I like lounging. I love the fact that all of the birds are here.
Oh, yes. Bird season in summer would be in full swing, yes, wouldn't it?
Yes. The vitamin D, everybody is soaking it up. The flowers are in full bloom, except the tulips. Who cares about the goddamn tulips?
Ugh, perennials.
I don't like them. Anyway.
They're overrated.
They very much are. I have some at home.
But they keep coming back year after year. That's nice about them.
Well, yeah.
They won't leave you.
they won't. So, okay. So we're feeling good. Because the depression's gone. The birds are back. So there's lots to do. You can go out to the beach. I actually like the rain in the summer too. So all of the weather that happens in the summer, I absolutely love. I love going on the water. So I love boating. All of the things that you really can't do in the winter.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
Okay. So
what's your favorite season?
Yes, exactly. I disagree about what the best season is. I really like, and I didn't used to be this way, but I really like autumn. And I think it's partially because in Victoria, BC, where I grew up, you don't really get an autumn. You don't really get a spring. It goes summer, rain, cold.
Right.
So there's only like three seasons. So when I moved to Ontario, there was more things happening in the fall months. And I really grew to love all the fall colors, the temperatures just right, the fashion that you get to put on. You can wear a really nice sweater. You can start putting on layers and look really good. You can feel yourself when you are walking down the street in your fall clothing. And I just love that so much. You don't overheat in that clothing, which is the problem with summer. I overheat. I'm a sweater. A sweater.
Yeah.
No, that sounds weird. I'm not a sweater. I'm a person who sweats. I am a person who sweats. So fall is perfect. It's cooling off. You get to look good. You might still have your tan from summer, which is, well, okay, I use tanning cream. Never mind. But I think you can just look at your best, feel your best in fall. And I feel like there's just something in the air about the crispness. The people are friendly in fall. I really like it. I don't know that that's enough to like it, but I do.
So the thing about fall is, one, is that it signifies death. It's the end. The good times are over. The snow is coming. We're going back into our depression. That's what fall is.
No.
The fall is a prequel to what is coming. And what is coming is darkness and sadness.
Okay, well, we can both agree that winter is the worst,
yes.
For sure.
Yes.
I don't see it that way. I view all the different cycles of life as being very beautiful. And as a result, I think watching the colors of the decay of the leaves are quite beautiful. Everything's so beautiful. And I have to say, I don't know if you've noticed, but people are nicer in the fall for some reason. They just are. They're like, oh, hi. Oh, did you have a good summer? You know, like no one's asking, did you have a good summer in summer? Because you're in the middle of summer. So that makes
fall. Because you're in the moment. You're having the time. That's when all of the artists come through. Like all of the good concerts happen in summer.
The outdoor concerts.
I love an
overcharged outdoor
concert. I love an outdoor concert at an amphitheater. I love that. I mean, I saw Janet. I mean, last year I saw her in the spring, and I'll see her in the summer, though. See her in the summer.
Yeah,
I
in a stadium now, not even outdoors, but whatever. Go on.
Well, in an arena.
An arena stadium.
She
whatever
can't
you call
do a stadium.
Things. Arena stadium.
I love Janet, but she can't do a
Here's
stadium.
Here's what. No, she can't. What I don't like about summer is no one comes to a comedy show in summer. It is so hard to sell tickets to a comedy show in July and August because everyone's like, well, I want to be outside. I want to do. And so I'm like, no, come inside into the dark.
Yes.
And
yes.
Listen to me tell jokes about winter.
I do. Have you ever done a comedy show outside? You've hosted events outside.
Of course I do an annual Pride Stravaganza coming up this year on June 22nd at 3 p.m. at Campbell House Museum. Check it out by going to linktree.com/gayafcomedy. But yeah, I love doing a good outdoor comedy show if people show up for it.
I love doing an outdoor event. Like I hosted Pride one year outdoors for like several hours and I loved it.
Yeah, see, it can be fun, but people are like, I'd like to sit at a cafe and have people look at me in my new summer dress, which doesn't look
as... The patios.
I thought you said pantyhose for a second, and I was just about to lose it. No, the patios. Yeah, patios are great about summer. Yeah. You can go to a patio in fall because it's still warm enough until October.
But hornets. Oh, hornets in the fall.
Hornets. You're right. I think we're on the good side of the 7-year hornet cycle, though, so we might be okay this fall. Hornets have a 7-year cycle where there's tons of them, and then there's not as many of them. And then it goes in a 7-year cycle.
Well, I got stung this last fall on a finger.
Oh, I remember that. You were very upset.
I was so upset. I was trying to eat my chicken wings.
You made a whole video about it.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be that mad. That got hundreds of thousands of views. You should be very happy that hornet stung you. Well, it got tens of thousands.
The biggest problem is I had that damn song stuck in my head the whole day.
A bee stung me? What?
No, the hornet stung, and then the hornet stung me. The tragic.
Oh, the tragic. And that's when the hornet stung me. I should not be singing like that to imitate someone who is a Canadian icon who is dearly departed. So I will stop there. I think we should also just stop talking about seasons. Should we do that?
Well, speaking of, are we ending the season?
Oh, that's right. So this is the last podcast of this very first season of the Gay of Comedy podcast. We're going to be taking a little break because Gay of Comedy is going on tour in April. Yes, we're going to Victoria, Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, Toronto, Montreal. I'm taking Al Val, the lovely transgender comedian, out to the four Western cities. And then we're going to Toronto and Montreal as well, where you will also see Dylan on the show. He'll be joining the tour in Toronto and Montreal. So we have to take a little bit of a break because it's a lot of work putting on a podcast. Dylan doesn't know, but I certainly do.
I know. I show up. It's a half an hour. Bada bing, bada boom.
What editing? What editing from all the rambling we do that people don't want to hear? So we're going to start up again probably in late May or June, just in time for Pride. So stay tuned. If you haven't listened to the back episodes, they're all fun. You can listen to them at any time. It doesn't matter. And that's all we're going to do for now, though. Oh, God, I've fallen apart.
Yeah. It's been so fun keeping you company while you mow your lawn or drive to work, while you cook your dishes.
Those are sound like all very straight things.
Well, that's what people do.
I guess regular people do that.
I love mowing a lawn.
Okay, well, maybe we'll have to do a segment about that.
Summer activity.
Yeah. All right, folks. Well, we're going to wrap up the podcast there. And we hope that you're having a great gay day. We hope that you're just going to be all right while we're away. Don't miss us too much.
Just comment below and we'll respond.
Yeah, we'll figure that out maybe by season 2. But folks, thanks so much for being listeners. We'll be back soon. And folks, remember to always be proud to be gay as fuck. Say goodbye, Dylan.
Goodbye.
The Gay AF Comedy Podcast is a production of Gay AF Comedy. All songs and sound effects can be found on the YouTube free library, because we're cheap. Follow us on Instagram, Stand Up Dylan, and this is Rob Watson. And you can follow Gay AF Comedy at Gay AF Comedy.